His Conscience, author unknown, Canada. And this story appears on page 465 in the second edition of the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous. It was only the part of him that was soluble in alcohol. It is believed that this author first got sober in 1938. He came from a family of five children and had a very happy childhood in a small Canadian town. His parents were religious without overemphasizing it. He never drank until he joined the army in World War I and drank very little while in the service. In France, he gave his rum ration away far more often than he drank it. He was sent back to Canada in the middle of the war because he was wounded and suffering from shock. He did some drinking with friends while waiting for his final discharge papers, but out of the army he only had a drink or two on special occasions, two or three times a year. That continued for 10 years. Toward the end of the 20s, his company gave him a better job, which entailed a lot of travel. He found that a few drinks with agreeable companions in sleeping cars or hotels helped pass the time. He frankly preferred the company of those who took a drink or two to those who did not. For the next few years, he had a lot of fun with alcohol and liked its effect. But soon he began to realize that he needed more alcohol than the others did. In retrospect, he concluded that at this time he was becoming more physically sensitive to and losing his tolerance for alcohol. Soon he began experiencing blackouts and at times would forget where he had parked his car. Soon traveling, even by train, became a hazard. He would find himself on trains going in the wrong direction and would end up in a town or city where he had no intention of being and had no business to transact. Time and again, he went on the wagon, but sooner or later, it would start all over again. Friends and family began speaking to him about his drinking, but the compulsion to drink was growing stronger. Up to this point, his rise in the business world had been steady, and he held a fine executive position. But now he was delaying making decisions, putting off appointments, and it was difficult to concentrate or even follow closely a business conversation. Eventually, he was fired, so he went on the wagon and got another good job. He stayed sober for a year, but found that being on the wagon was the most miserable way to exist and fell off again. He could not stop. Finally, he contacted AA. His AA contact told him, "Today could be the most important day in your life." It was. He immediately went to the president of the company, for whom he then worked, and told him that he had joined AA. He got a hearty handshake and an unmistakable look of approval. That was enough. He knew he was on the way up again, as long as he remembered to stay away from the first drink. He still had his ups and downs, but during his years in AA, he was continually learning to accept the things he cannot change, being given courage to change the things he could, and the wisdom to know the difference. AA gave him a happy and contented way of living, and he was very deeply grateful to the founders and early members of AA who plotted the course and who kept the faith.